So whose side is Jesus on? Who do you think? The Republicans. Is he on the Republican side? Is he on the Democrat side? Oh, we're so sure. Is he on the moderate side? Is he independents? Is he on that side? Is he on the white side? Is he on the brown side, the yellow side, the red side? Is he on the side of poverty? Or is he on the side of riches? Whose side is Jesus on? Say it again.
His side.
Amen. Church, get to it. Hallelujah. He's on his side, and he wants all to be set free. Gosh, I don't know if you remember, Joshua has been called to actually take over for Moses and bring these people into the promised land. And he sees the angel of the Lord, and he's looking like, you know, what an angel of the Lord, a warrior angel would look like. And Joshua's like, he is going to win whatever side he's on. And he goes, whose side are you on? He's like, I'm with the Lord. So Jesus is on his side. And yet I want to say this really clear to you today. Jesus loves people. Jesus loves people. He's not afraid to love people. He got into our mess. He still gets into your mess. Does anybody know that Jesus doesn't leave you alone? Now let me ask you like this. Have you ever felt like Jesus leaves you alone?
Oh yeah.
Is he ever absent?
Yeah,
he's omnipresent. Now, we think we can get away from him and we can go all these directions. Psalm 139, and please go to spend some time in that. It's like, there's nowhere you can go away from his spirit. Nowhere. But he's come to us. And last week we looked at that, and some of you responded in ways that were significant. Like, you want to give your life to Jesus. You want to be baptized. You want to be praying for people. You want to be prayed for. You're praying about being part of a training time where we learn how to make disciples that make disciples. And we would be intentional about that and relational and accountable. And we ask that you would pray for your leaders. And for some of you, you got contacted, and some of you will get contacted this week. And Zach painted a picture and actually showed a picture of building a bridge while you're on it. Anybody feel that? Is that your life at all? Do you feel that in your life? I feel it in mine all the time. But since it's not about me, let's go to Jesus. Let's go to Luke 5, and we're going to start in 27 through 28. If you don't have a Bible, we have them. I love what John said as you're looking up Luke 5, and there's Bibles underneath your seats if you don't have it. If you have it on your phone, cool. Just really quick before I say the thing about what John said, who has a Bible app on their phone? Who reads that a ton? Sweet. I used to have like a pocket Bible. Do you remember those? Pocket size. I already feel like I've got a pretty good size butt, but I had the Bible in my back pocket, and this lady says to me, I was in an elevator, and she says, what is that in your back pocket? I said, it's the Bible. She goes, the whole Bible is in your back pocket? I'm like, yeah, it's little. And she goes, oh, I can never read that. I'm like, you don't like the Bible? She goes, no, my eyes are bad. That's got to be tiny print. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Have you ever heard of Noah Webster? And she goes, like Webster's Dictionary? I'm like, yeah. Apparently, he memorized the Bible. Not parts. The Bible. Now, you can actually fit the Bible in your mind and in your heart. Not just your back pocket. That's a nice little commercial. You can enjoy that. All right. But here's something I wanted to share with you. We love that you come and celebrate Jesus with us. We love that you come to learn and to share and to pray. And we want to ask you to be willing to do that more. And if you know people who are in second service, I also invite you to invite them to come check out room. Because they don't have room at second service. It's a little SRO, standing room only, and that's okay. But we would really like to have that service also be available to people who are seeking out after Jesus. Because when somebody comes in and sees a parking lot that's just packed and sees a room that's packed, they may think there's no room for them. It also might excite them and go, oh, this place is bumping. Most people turn around and leave, though. And we don't want that to happen. So let's go to Luke 5:27. You might remember that Jesus had cleansed a leper and he healed a paralytic. And I love the last verse that we read last Sunday. And amazement seized them all. And they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, we've seen extraordinary things today. Yeah, Lord, show us extraordinary things today in Jesus' name. Here you go, verse 27, Luke 5. After this, he, Jesus, went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he rose and he followed him. Where did Jesus meet Levi? This is also Matthew. Same guy. Why is his name Levi? I wasn't there. Jesus probably gave him a new name, or that's a Greek name, whatever. It's really not super important. What is important is that Jesus went from this extraordinary stuff to a pretty ordinary and much hated guy. He went to him. Where did he find him? He was on the job. What did you say? At the tax for the IRS. He was collecting. Anybody? Okay. Anybody know somebody who's had to have a debt collected? Not you, of course. Just phone calls over and over, pursuits. I got a phone call the other day on behalf of somebody else. Like, they called me and said, hey, do you know where so-and-so is? I'm like, who is this? Oh, so-and-so with this debt collector. I'm like, and how do you have my name? Because it wasn't my debt. She said, well, this person put down your name as somebody we could get a hold of if we couldn't get a hold of them. I was like, thanks for that. But it did make me think that Jesus paid my debt. It wasn't his debt to pay. Still didn't, like, stop me from sending a text like, what's up with this? So this debt collector, this tax collector, this much hated man, Jesus shows up with him on the job, comes right into his grill and says, follow me. And what did he do? I mean, say it again. Yeah, he left everything following. Let's not get too, like, complicated here. He got up from what he was doing, and he followed Jesus. I was having lunch with a friend of mine on Friday, and we were talking about a lot of things, because that's what we do. But he said, you know what? That guy might have been thinking that night before this, man, I got all this money, and my life is empty. I just want something more. Maybe he even prayed to God. I don't know. That's esoteric or outside of the Bible. But I will tell you what isn't outside of the Bible. Jesus comes to us. Has he been coming to you? Have you been praying for people in your life that are looking for Jesus and that Jesus has been coming to? Have you been praying that your eyes would be open to what the Bible calls people of peace? I encourage you to do that more, and we'll have a chance to do that today. So he gets up and he follows Jesus, leaves everything. Verse 29, and Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. What's the first thing Levi does when he gets up and follows Jesus around? Does he OD on this amazing fellowship? Maybe. But then he calls all of his friends. Hey, Jackie, I want you to meet somebody. Hey, I know that we don't get together a whole lot because business has been booming. And I've been collecting and you've been collecting. But he makes a feast and calls his friends and he has a Jesus party. When was the last time you invited your friends to meet Jesus? When was the last time you went from like, boy, you know what? I moderately dig Sunday morning. Maybe I'll invite somebody with me. When was the last time? Maybe for some of you it was recent. Maybe for some of you it was last night. Maybe for some of you you're like, I really haven't. This isn't the only Jesus party going on, by the way. And I don't mean from a church standpoint, but he didn't invite him, those friends to the synagogue. Anybody know why he didn't invite them to the synagogue? They weren't allowed there. Nobody wanted them. But you get to be the church. You get to be the representative. You get to be the bridge to Jesus. Listen to this. Don't keep Jesus to yourself. Don't keep Jesus to yourself. He's not the best kept secret. I don't know if you know about this, but we're talking about Jesus today in 2019 because way, way, way back then, people decided we can't keep him to ourselves. This guy, Levi, is like, hold on, I'm a mess. I take money from my people for the Roman government, which is hated by my people. And I don't just take money for them and their war machine. I get a little extra for me. They don't just pay me. I actually get some more. Fishermen would know this for sure. He was right there in that area. Fishermen, you get a good catch today? Yeah, we did. Sweet. Give this to Caesar. Like immediately. How would you like that? Once you're, I mean, I guess we technically have that. We get our paycheck and it's gone. Never mind. We understand it. Well, he knew that he deserved to be hated. And maybe he hated himself, as my friend was saying on Friday. Maybe he came to grips with the fact that he wanted something else and Jesus came right into it and called him and he said, yes, that's what I want. Me? Okay. And then he invites his friends. What would that look like to you? Can anybody, we only have a little bit of time, but I'd like to hear from you really quick. Anybody know what it would look like to have a Jesus party today? What would it look like? Because I know that it's like, well, Jesus was sitting there. That would make the party banging, wouldn't it? Woo! Jesus is here. But isn't he? Doesn't he live in you and me? What would it be like today? Really quick, an example to invite people to a Jesus party. What's that? Barbecue and a lot of questions. Would you print them out, Renee? Or you would ask them? Or discussion. Okay, discussion. So a barbecue, just at your house. Any other way we could do this?
Music.
Music? Oh, boo. Paul, that's good. You're right. Country music, whatever music you enjoy. Gosh, you got me on that one. I'm speechless. Cool. So music, concert, maybe have people over your house. Maybe have the harpist, the local harpist be there and like, boy, that dude's for real. But what else? So a party, huh?
Baseball trip?
Yeah, go to a baseball game with people. Just have real life with them. And don't leave Jesus at church. You are the church. Invite them in. Let's keep going. Verse 30. This just gets so amazing. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Honestly, I've said this before, I won't belabor it. If you were to ask Jesus, why did he eat with sinners? Do you know what his answer should be? who else could I eat with? Who else? Who else is there? But why does your rabbi do this? They were asking his disciples this. And Jesus just knows people, like everybody. And so Jesus answered them. What? But we didn't ask Jesus. We asked his disciples. He knows. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. So it's a little bit weird here in the ESV, but those who are sick need a physician, not the healthy. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. People matter to Jesus. He loves them. He wants them. He doesn't want them to be sick. He doesn't want them to be separated. Will everybody get healed of sickness?
Should.
Okay. Should, no. Everybody is going to pass unless Jesus Enochs them or he comes back. Everybody. But he says, even though you die, yet shall you live in him. He wants us, you guys. And so I want to give you time. I want you to look at this, and I've got a screen for it. Jesus says, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Would you take a few minutes right now to pray and thank Jesus for that? Thank Jesus that he came for sinners. But also for some of you, you might be sitting there thinking, I'm actually pretty good. I've got my ducks in a row. I've got my stuff together. I've finally really overcome carbs and I'm good. And you don't think you're sick. You don't think you're in need. So maybe you just ask God to uncover for you where you need him. That you would ask God in this few moments of prayer to show me, Lord, where I've been missing, where I've been angry, where I've been unforgiving. So thank him. Ask him for help. For some of you, you have not done this yet before, and so today's your day to repent. Today's your day to turn around and go, oh, I need the great physician. I need God. I need this perfect Savior because I'm not perfect. Maybe tell him that you trust his heart, you trust his assessment of you, and you trust that he could fill you up to overflowing, that you could tell the world this good news. So go ahead and take a few minutes to pray. How do you do it? You just talk to God. I gave you some suggestions, but you can talk to him. Jesus, I want to thank you so much for coming to us. Thank you for coming to me right where I was at. Not just when I was 19. And not just when I was 16. Not just when I was 30. But this very day. Meeting me as I heard Josh singing about your love. That would be like a waterfall that just seems so out of control and majestic at the same time. God, thank you so much that you've opened my eyes to see that I need you desperately. And thank you that you come at me when I think I've got it all together and that I'm totally fine. I mean, I want to be a warrior, and I get to be in your name, but I know that my friends that are right here with me, sometimes we think that we're just too much of a mess, and then other times we just think we've got it all together and we're fine, and can somebody preach something else, please? God, you're awesome. We are not awesome on our own. We're awesome because of you. Thank you that you made it clear you didn't come for those who thought they already had it together. You came for those who knew they didn't. Would you open our eyes and our minds to that truth in Jesus' name? Amen. I'm just feeling pretty convicted in my spirit. I don't want you to be afraid. This isn't a show. I just want to ask, is there anybody who came to grips today with the fact that they were sin sick and Jesus is the Savior and you gave your life to Jesus today? You don't have to raise your hand like, oh, I don't want Aaron to feel stupid. I don't feel stupid when I should. And then I feel stupid when I shouldn't. So don't worry about me. Anybody say, yep, I need you, Jesus. Anybody need to repent at all and came back to him today saying, look, I haven't had it together and I've judged you, God. I've been far from you, whatever. Has anybody done that today? No. Me too. Daily, that's good. Anybody excited about this and realize, boy, I need to do a Jesus part. I need to tell people about Jesus. Feeling that conviction in your spirit? Hallelujah. Lord, have your way in all of these responses and the many that I couldn't come up with. God, preach to us and through us. God, set captives free. Heal us, Jesus, in your righteous name. Amen. So he gives them this response. Look, I didn't come for the righteous. And that ought to hit people who are religious leaders right square in the eyes, because they were missing Jesus and he was right in their presence. Look, there's a lot to unpack in this next passage, and I'm not going to unpack very much of it. But I want you to hear very, very clearly. Domingo, did you just hit your head? So you're right, bro. Yeah, I've never hit my head on that. I'm 5'7". I know, good job. Thanks. I hope you're all right. Careful on the stairs. Okay, good. So he tells them this, and immediately they actually start asking him questions. Again, they go to his disciples. And they said to him, the disciples of John fast often, and they offer prayers. And so do the disciples of the Pharisees. But yours eat and drink. We haven't seen you guys fasting. I'll tell you something about fasting. In the Old Testament, it was a time, the Day of Atonement was the only time during a feast that there would be any fasting. There would be fasting for grieving. There would be fasting for confession of sins. There would be fasting in a time of national calamity. But the Pharisees had started to make fasting this thing, and they would fast a bunch, and it would look really holy and really, really self-righteous. But fasting can be beautiful. It can be such a time to connect with God. It can be such a time to be able to say, and some people are celebrating and observing Lent and saying, look, I'm saying no to myself, and I'm saying yes to Jesus. I'm not just focusing on what I'm saying no to. I'm actually focusing on Jesus, and that can be a way to really benefit. But they're like, look, the other guys fast. What about you? Why aren't your disciples fasting? I don't know if you know this, but the Pharisees didn't think a whole lot of John. They first came out to see him, and then he's like, what's up, you brood of vipers? And so they're like, what? And now they're like, hey, his disciples fasted. And the Pharisees' disciples fast. What about yours? And Jesus said, can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? You can tell people to fast right in the middle of the party? The bridegroom is here. He's telling them straight up. God is here. They would know this. He's saying, you're not going to fast when God's right here in your presence. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them. That's a shout out to the fact that those people right there and a bunch of others were going to arrest Jesus and murder him or have him murdered. He's like, there's going to come a day when he's taken away. And then you can fast in those days because it's going to be painful. Oh my goodness, you guys. Look, he also told them this parable. And in the book of Luke, this is the first parable he tells. No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he'll tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. First of all, you're not going to take from a garment that's fine to fix one that isn't. Next, you're not going to take new and put it on old. There's a lot to that. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, and it'll be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. So, two things. The wine will be destroyed, and so what was supposed to be holding it. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new, for he says, the old is good. I'm not a wino. I don't understand a ton about wine. I do understand a bit about the fact that some people like the old ways and some people like the new. Jesus came to fulfill and change everything. It wasn't just the old way. He didn't come to fix the old law. He came to fulfill it. He came to be the sacrifice. We just took communion, this amazing opportunity to fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who laid himself down for us. He came to fulfill it, but he gave us a new covenant in his blood. You get this? New. He's not saying, look, that old-timey stuff is just jacked up. He's saying it was just foreshadowing. I fulfilled it. I fulfilled it. You need the new, and it's only found in me, Jesus says. He paid the sin debt. He gave us a new covenant. It's his sacrifice by his grace. What we can bring to the table is also a gift from him, and it's called faith. We trust him. We trust that we're sinners. We trust that we need to repent. We trust that he's the one who paid for us to be able to do that. All right. So then he goes to the Sabbath. This was a big one. This holy day, this first day that they would be able to, on the seventh day, rest. On the Sabbath, chapter 6, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. Some of the Pharisees said, why are you doing what's not lawful to do on the Sabbath? Gosh, you guys, there's so much to teach on this. I'm going to ask you to go back and find out what God told the people about their fields. It's summarized by this. Don't harvest everything. Leave the edges for people who are poor, for people who are widowed, for foreigners, for people who are traveling through. Jesus' homies were hungry. They weren't hungry because it's been 10 minutes since I ate something. They were giving of their lives to follow this rabbi, and they were hungry. And they grabbed these grains, rubbed off the chaff, and ate them, popped them in their mouth. I mean, you might like granola, but this is raw. And they're like, why are they doing that? And so Jesus answers them. Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, representing the presence of God, by the way, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he also gave it to those with him. And he said to them, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath isn't the Lord. Religion isn't the Lord. Old isn't the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. He is the master. He is the king. Is he your Lord? Does he get to make you uncomfortable? Does he get to say, you don't know where I'm calling you yet. I just want you to follow me. I'll give you the next step. Like it says in Psalm, it's a lamp unto your feet. Not a headlamp, because now I can see some stuff coming. And I'm going to tell you something about if you can see things coming. A lot of times we don't go. Talked to the friend last night about this. He's like, oh, I just don't want to keep praying with my wife because God keeps calling us to do things that make me uncomfortable. I'm like, that's super honest. Shut that down and keep going. He's got what's best for you. He's given you more of himself. These guys were like, this is bad. He's like, look, David did something that was unlawful. What you're actually saying isn't even unlawful according to Leviticus. You've made up more. I came to make sure everybody knows exactly how it's supposed to be. Follow me. People are hungry. Take care of them. Look, we've invited you multiple times, and many of you have gotten involved in this to help feed people. We have two things that are amazing that are right here before us today. Back on this info table, you're going to see a green form like this, next to some sign-up sheets to help take care of the staff up at the high school when they do conferences. We don't do that so they will hopefully, because the peanut butter popcorn is so good, that they'll come to Jesus. We do that to show them the love of Jesus, and we will preach the love of Jesus in deeds, but also in words. We do it because it's kind and it's good, and people get hungry, and we want them to know that they're appreciated. We do want them to know Jesus and follow him. And then you guys have been supporting as a church for a long time Operation Sky Valley that feeds babies, feeds little kids, 165 students. And they need help. They need help. Like, the amount of food that goes out of this little ministry is ridiculous. There is a form where you can help feed them. You go shopping and you grab some of these things. Now, Kelly will be here next hour. She's not here this hour. So we have these little forms that I cut just haggardly. So you can go back there, find those also. And it's, I mean, simple things like individual snacks, tuna. But people get hungry. And we want to help feed them, especially people who need it. Jesus' people needed it. And he said, look, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. The Son of Man, the Messiah, is the Lord of the Sabbath. He went over and over again telling them, I'm the Lord. And so let me say this to you, church, because our time is running out. What's the Lord calling you to? Is he calling you to more relationship with him than more rituals? He doesn't want you to just go through the motions. He wants your heart. He doesn't want you to give him a minute here or there. But he wants you to dedicate your day to him. And then as you're going through your day, you actually live it for him. And then as you come to the end of the day, you thank him and you ask him for help and you ask him for others and you pray and you encourage whoever you have influence with to know and to follow Jesus. Keep your heart close to him, not away from him. Don't just worry about keeping the rules, but keep in right relationship. Forgiveness from him, forgiveness for others, kindness and compassion. And so as just to bring you back to the fact that Jesus loves people, he loved the Pharisees and scribes who were questioning him enough to tell them the truth, unashamedly. He loved his people enough to say, yeah, go ahead, pop some grain in your mouth, get some sustenance. We're on the roll here. You're my people, and the Sabbath isn't to do anything other than to bring you closer to the Lord. For some of you, you don't take a Sabbath. You need to find a day and wind down. Yeah, but then those pesky memories come back. Yeah, God can help you with that. But we're about to see the story of a man who was not whole physically. His hand was withered. And Jesus does something amazing, and it's on another Sabbath. And we'll finish with this story. Luke 6:6. On another Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. Not all Pharisees were this way, not all first century Jews were this way, but in this story that Luke is telling us in a very orderly way, these guys were looking to accuse Jesus for healing. You chump, you healed somebody. If it wasn't so offensive, it would almost be laughable. But he knew their thoughts. Let that sink in for a second. And so he says to the man with the withered hand, come and stand here. Come on up front. You're not a project. You're an image bearer of the Most High God. Come up here. I want to show them how much God loves you. So he rose and he stood there, and Jesus said to them, I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save life or to destroy it? Seems like a pretty straightforward question. We're not rabbis and we're not Pharisees and we're not scribes, but let me ask you, church, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or harm? To save life or to destroy it? What should we do on the Lord's day? We should probably do what's right. Do what's good. These men get the question. It's not like they're like, could you submit that in a written form? I'm not quite sure what you mean. No. It was real clear. And so, here it goes. They didn't answer him. Verse 10, and after looking around at them all, he said, stretch out your hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Remember, he came for the sick. He came for the sinners. So will you follow Jesus? Will you admit that you need him? Will you adjust your life? Will you humbly acknowledge that you need a Savior, but you also need a Lord? You need somebody who calls the shots, and you don't tell him, this is how it's going to go, God. Lord, I don't know how this lands for people. I know that in a really strong teaching style, I would have given them 100 different ways to apply this. But I really feel like you're the one who's calling them and talking to them, calling us and talking to us. So how will we follow you? What will we do? Are we going to be like what Zach talked about last week and wishing and wanting to do things? Or are we going to be willing to do them and able by your grace and your mercy? I offer this day to you. I offer myself to you, I offer my church to you. Of course, Lord, as I've been already praying this morning multiple times, I offer my very family to you. What is it that you want for us? I know you've shown us to love you with all that we have and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So may we start there and see how you specifically call us to do that. May we understand. May we have direction. And may we go with the last thing that we know you told us to do. And may we do that. May we make your name known, being a city set on a hill. May we come to you if we haven't. May we brag about you if we haven't. God, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day today.